Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, cousins from different dozens. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Newcastle gubbed Chelsea and Garnacho scored a peach. It's Monday, 27th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm the Dushan Hantaraja.
Welcome on and all to the Football Ramble. Lovely to have you here. Gentlemen, we start the show, of course, with the sad news that broke yesterday that Terry Venables has passed away at the age of 80 after a long battle with illness. We all remember the career of Terry Venables, obviously his managerial career, a bit young for his playing career, but most famously managed England at Euro 96 for us, also managed a number of teams, including Crystal Palace, QPR, Barcelona, of course, and Spurs, where perhaps we remember him as well. What a character of the game, Jim Campbell, he was. Everybody knew Terry Venables. He was a titan of English football.
Absolutely. I mean, particularly for our generation as well, with Euro 96 being a really sort of formative football experience. He was sort of like your favourite uncle, wasn't he, Terry Venables? It was very, very difficult, very hard to find anybody that didn't light up at the mention of Terry Venables, I think. And he brought us some brilliant memories. And Euro 96 in particular was a weird set of circumstances, because we knew he wasn't going to stay beyond the tournament, and he took us deep into it, and he had an amazing career. How many people go from managing QPR to managing Barcelona?
Yes.
I know it was a very different time, but he was a really exceptional manager. You don't get the chance to do that if you're not, and he'll be a big loss.
Yeah, he won a league title at Barcelona and lost quite oddly 2-0 in a penalty shootout in the European Cup final. You don't often see it.
It was their first one for like 10 years, wasn't it? It was a bit of a surprise, really.
Yeah, but I mean, Venables, that great Spurs side. Although league position wasn't so much, but they won the FA Cup, Gary Lineker, Paul Gascoigne.
I think Spurs fans of that era remember it that way.
Yeah,
they were a force, weren't they?
When people talk about that Spurs and replicating that success, or whenever it comes up, it's because of that Venable side. And I thought it was, you know, when you see the number of people who come out in, I suppose, just, you know, mourning the loss, and when you see it from fans of many different clubs, so you saw it from Spurs fans, there were QPR fans as well. There was even talk among, people in Spain talking about like the effect he had on Barcelona, which people don't really
Balague mentioned him, yeah.
Yeah, because you don't really think about, I suppose maybe in part because we didn't really see ourselves as, you know, as continental managers, or that would be of interest to continental teams. It feels like it's more of a recent development of the players and stuff like that. But for a manager to be courted over there and to do what he did was remarkable, really. And I remember him as a kid being just so charismatic.
Yeah.
Even though I wouldn't, you know, it wasn't like I was watching every press conference or whatever, you know, as you mentioned with regards to Euro 96. But it was clear all the players loved him.
Yes. And all those players, I mean, Gary Neville, it's worth reading his tweet that he sent out about this, because he spoke about Venables as tactical nous, as a lot of people have, and his man management. And seldom do you get all of that, really. And he was saying the different systems, they could switch systems in the play and so on. And people might say, oh, come on. But especially for an England team as well. But he also said that he commanded the respect, and also they liked him, of huge leaders in that team. You know, Adams, Pearce, Shearer, Sheringham, you know, Ince, you know, all those kind of guys. But just, yeah, I think the one thing is, Peter, is that everybody seemed to get on very well with him, those who played for him.
Yeah, and you sort of get the sense that he was slightly unlucky in the England setup. He was a bit too spicy, a bit too interesting, I suppose, for quite a regressive kind of effort at that time. But there's probably an argument to say that there's a lot of Gareth Southgate's, what he learned in the dugout from him. And he protected players, you know, obviously the pre-Euro 96, we had the Hong Kong, what's it called?
The dentist chair and stuff like that.
And you get the sense that, again, he probably could have done something at Leeds if they didn't sell all of their defenders from underneath his nose. Sign Naeem. Happy memories, Jim.
But I mean, look, we also must say that there was a bit of controversy around Venables as well, with you know, some of the financial interests and whatnot. But despite all that, again, such a likable guy and such a huge figure in English football. I had the wonderful experience of meeting and sort of working a little bit with Terry Venables. It was at the same time with Craig Brown, which was quite glorious. And it was in England. It was ahead of an England Scotland friendly in Glasgow, and he said one of the most wonderful things when I was asking them both, because it was an England fans versus Scotland fans. You know, they do these things. They like to make a bit of pomp and ceremony around some of these fixtures. And Craig Brown was, of course, managing the Scotland fans. Terry was managing the England fans. And I believe I've mentioned this before, but allow me, everybody, I think it's fair. And I said to Craig Brown, what did you say to the Scotland fans to G them up ahead of this one against England? And he just went, I went in there and I said, lads, it's them. And I said, oh, what about you, Terry? And he just went, well, I went in there and I went, lads, it's us. He just got it, you know, he could read a room, that man.
Yeah.
Good singer.
Yeah.
Please make my dream come true. It's an Elvis Presley classic, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, fucking dream.
Oh, dear. Well, yeah, Terry Venables will certainly be missed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then. Let's go to the football that happened in the Premier League on the weekend. Everton 0, Manchester United 3. Garnacho. Fatuja Handaraja, take us away.
We don't start games well. Manchester United do not start games well.
Slow starters.
Slow starters.
Yeah.
And then
mix it up.
You know, you bring in someone who's younger, limber, and they're trying overhead kicks in the third minute.
That is raw Argentinian beef.
It was, it's like from start
medium
to,
rare, I should say.
From start to finish, a very slick move.
Yeah. Bad cross, really.
In a way.
Yeah.
If we could have one complaint, Dallow, come on. But as soon as I don't think I've shouted. You know, it's the kind of shout where it draws a noise out of you that you didn't realise you had.
Yeah.
It was that kind
You've
of
You've done
like
that a
yell.
Few times on this podcast.
Yeah, I do, yeah. But not often in joy,
right,
I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah, remarkable goal. It was so good. It's better than Wayne Rooney's goal. Obviously, the context of it being a Manchester derby and being a winner, fine. But in terms of execution...
Was Rooney's a shinner? Is that what you're going to say?
No, I always argued crux of the ankle is my thing.
I think if it is a shinner...
I don't care.
That's a harder thing to do.
Is it, not really, because you get that because of the way the ankle... I'm not going into it.
Was this one not a bit of a shinner?
No.
Much cleaner contact.
Again, though...
I don't like you saying that when you're wearing a suit, Vish. A very nice suit at that.
Very nice suit. But no, there is an angle that you see, Peter. So I sympathise.
There
is an angle, but with this one, it's much more right. Provable.
It's all a bit grassy knoll for me, Mark. I don't like it.
I would have liked a taller keeper in there just to add a bit of.
Yeah.
Well, I was surprised.
In off the bar, ideally, if we're being greedy, right?
Yeah. Last minute as well, Jim.
Also, just because you end, it's a wonderful goal because you end up like. Going through all the overhead kicks you remember, is just people should do that anyway.
The benchmark for our generation, and I do put you in that, Vish. Sorry, is Trevor Sinclair, Jim.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Where does it rate against Trevor Sinclair?
It's genuinely up there, isn't it? Mm. It's.
I mean, we've had a few. Ronaldo, of course, for Real Madrid away to Juventus would be Bale. Gareth Bale.
I think Bale for me was very much the one. I think that was kind of at the high mark in this generation.
I mean, it's the fact that it's so far behind him.
It's almost improvised, and it's almost, you know, Lauren Robert, dolphin flick.
There we go.
Also, Peter Crouch did a couple that were probably more kind of scissor kicks, but they were also in midair, and both just looked like MC Escher paintings.
He's not a tidy man, is he?
No.
He plays. He's not a tidy man. And he will judge appropriately.
I'm surprised. I thought you were going to criticise Pickford on this goal, Peter.
I mean, he notably has issues with... goals in the corner, but some might argue. But his feet were all right there.
Were they okay? Yeah. To be fair, like he wasn't expecting that.
No.
Nah. No.
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 Do you know what though?
He didn't need that either. The whole team didn't need.
Didn't
that.
Need it.
Not the start they wanted, was
no.
it?
Certainly not. With Garnacho scoring that goal, I did think to myself. How's he managed to come across as a little bit dislikable after scoring that goal?
He does
a Ronaldo celebration. Because even Bruno Fernandes, quite a hard man to please, was giving it that kind of a, oh my goodness, did you get a load of that? Like they were all amazed and he was just like, yeah, I'll do that again in a few minutes.
I think you kind of want that from the odd player in your team though, right?
Yeah.
Nice to have a player that other teams hate.
We don't need that many, though.
Yeah,
we've got loads.
We're introducing quotas.
The in his post-match press conference with Bruno Fernandes, there was he did say like I won't score a goal better than that.
Yeah.
But also, Bruno was like, you know, I always expect more from him. You know, it was a good goal. It was a brilliant goal. He played well, but you know, he's always trying to impress me.
Yeah.
There was almost like a. A father figure there, who certainly a father figure that I could identify with, who wasn't all that impressed. Element of don't get carried away with yourself.
It's only
one goal.
That's right. It was incredible, absolutely incredible. And it was the talking point of the game. And the other sort of talking points around this game, of course, were the Everton fans booing the Premier League anthem, held up cards with the league logo and corrupt written underneath. They also did that in the 10th. Minute earlier in the weekend, the plane Everton fans that had cobbled together for flew over the Etihad and it read the Premier League equals corrupt. And Mayor of Manchester Andy Burnham is I believe he's writing to the Premier League and going to see how far this can be pushed and saying, look, you changed the punishment if you like during this case and whatnot. And so this is not fair, actually. He said, I'm not arguing the fact that they have a case to answer to and that the punishment is, you're going to get punished if you break the rules, but a little bit underhand. And I think that's what they're unhappy about, Everton, you know, and very unhappy about it, you know, think so about it. So what do we think of that, gentlemen?
Yeah, I think as we touched on last week, it's the I don't think there's really any doubt, even from within Everton and Everton fans, they know that the rules were broken. It's just the severity of the punishment, isn't it? Given the circumstances of it, and I think actually the bigger problem for Everton than this, because as we've discussed, they will probably be fine despite this result, is the threat of legal action from other clubs that could rattle on for years and years and be a real sort of clamp on their wheel.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean. It was when you saw that punishment dished out, you thought to yourself, okay, that is huge. What are the sort of the ramifications on that? But as I say, you know, a prominent politician in this country is now getting involved. You know, as I say, Burnham, he's written a letter to the chair of the Premier League to register a formal complaint over what he calls or claims is abuse of process with the sanction, which is... You know, if indeed he's correct, then that is a huge talking point as well.
New element to it, for sure.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, I suppose the other thing to say about the protest is that, you know, I think if you're fired Mashiri, you're thinking, well, thank God, that's the heat off me for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because
Well, indeed. I mean, let me just sort of clarify a little bit more what Burnham's been saying. He said the fact that the Premier League sought to introduce a new sanctions policy in the middle of this process amounts, in my view, to an abusive process. So that is what Andy Burnham and a lot of people are unhappy about.
So he's not, he doesn't agree with the punishment then.
Well, he's saying that if you're, as he says, if you're introducing new sanctions in the middle.
I see what you're saying, especially given the time frame. But like, you know, when can you introduce them?
Though? Yeah,
like, yeah, and also like, I mean, presumably when you are sent down, like you get a sentence at the end of it. You know what I mean? And that's always up in the air. I don't understand why there's a massive.
Well, we shall see how that develops, of course. But you can understand.
It's not about evidence, it's what other sanctions are levied against other clubs. That's the situation.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's the important point to make here, because it isn't quite apples and oranges, but the reason Everton have been, well, Everton's case has come through and been put through so quickly is because it's
simpler.
An easier case.
You know, as boring as it may sound, we shall have to wait and see how that develops, as we say, and what legal ramifications and whatnot come from it.
The thing to also say is I actually think Everton broadly played quite well in patches. Obviously, it was one hell of a sucker punch to receive.
Yeah.
Then the penalty, which was correct, but given on VAR, and Martial, brilliant finish, but Everton are pushing forward anyway.
Yeah, once you're there.
They had a lot of chances, didn't they?
They did, yeah. I think it was something like 26 shots.
Mm-hmm. And Arna looked solid.
A fair few of them were speculative, but broadly they were keeping the ball well, they were pushing on well. I think you saw a lot there to suggest that they shouldn't be in the mire for, you know, come the business end of the season. Obviously, you know, they'll need the results to prove that, but... Yeah. You know, they just look at, we said it before, they look a better team than they have over the last 2 years.
They needed three more wins this season anyway.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They'll probably get those.
And they're better equipped to deal with what the situation they're in now.
Yeah, again, just the 5 points from safety, obviously after Luton got a win. But, you know, Burnley just can't buy a win, can't buy a draw. Sheffield United get beat handedly. Like off by Bournemouth at home, you know. So those two sides, you know, everybody's money will be on them to go down. You know, Everton have then just got to look at Luton and say, right, we've got to catch them, and then some of the teams above them, you know. And it is doable, doable.
Sometimes it takes promoted teams in particular a little while to get up to speed, though, doesn't it? We don't know that all three of those teams are going to be this bad all season.
So where you think Sheffield United and Burnley might improve?
When I say
answer
that,
the question,
very,
Jim Campbell.
It's well within the realms of possibility that they improve.
Well, obviously.
They might get a new manager. Like, again, no sacking yet.
Right.
Well, like, we're deep into November. There's not been a sacking in the Premier League.
Very strange.
Unheard of.
It's
and
the Arteta effect. I don't like it.
Maybe.
It's within the realms of possibility they might improve and they might get a new manager.
But this is what this is where the danger lies for Everton, isn't it? That a win for Luton at this weekend looks a like in the short term, like a potential disaster for them. And it's got to be deeply frustrating they're in this situation. There's more controversy this weekend surrounding Everton, certainly from my bald friends, one of whom
has
deduced that Sean Dyche is not a real bald man.
Right.
They think it's a buzz cut. As I understand it, the community are angry.
Yes. Yeah.
They think he's bald, fraud. and I'd like to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that kind of fits in with his general ambiance, I would say. So if I was in his position, I would also... Because the pullback and reveal is he just suddenly grows hair.
Ooh.
And that would be astonishing.
That would be... I'd like to get Lewis Dunk's thoughts.
What did he say to Andy Taylor?
It was fuck off, you bald prick. Was it or you fucking bald prick?
Well,
one of the two.
It's been suggested, alleged, whatever the word is.
But we only
lip read.
lip read from Anthony Taylor.
Well, yeah, okay.
Why have you sent him off? He just called me a bald prick.
Well, could turn out that Anthony Taylor's a bald liar. You know,
just go to shake his hand as well. At what point did the insult happen? In relation to the handshake.
Oh, so he got a yellow card.
Yeah.
And then he's obviously said something. And I think he's turned around and gone, probably going to get sent off. Have a handshake. That should... Oh, you're going to send me off.
There's a bit where you can see when Dunk turns around, he's walking away. You can tell that he's thinking, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Because he kind of puts his hand back there to be like, oh, I didn't mean it.
I can feel the warm glow of the red card.
Did you hear what I said? What did you say? What did you think I said?
Why have you stopped me, officer?
Yeah, feel like the old was it Rodney Marsh who said to a referee once, "Can I call you a wanker or something?" And the referee was like, "No, if you do that, obviously you'll get in trouble." And he went, "But can I? You know, what if I just think it?" And he went, "Well, obviously I'm not the thought police." And he went, "All right, I think you're a wanker." Although Rodney Marsh probably told that story, therefore it probably wasn't true.
Yes.
But there we are. So, Everton, we talked about them being down the bottom. Of course, the league table doesn't lie. They are in the relegation zone. Or does the league table lie? Because
I think in this case,
Manchester United are 6 points off the top after 13 games.
Mm. Well, within the
feels
league
like
table,
that's a big lie.
Within the league table also exists the stat that United now have neutral goal difference.
Yes, West Ham.
They're the form team. It's all very confusing.
It is very confusing. They're a point above Newcastle. They're 2 points behind Spurs.
It's like, you know those pictures where they have like just garbage?
How have they done it?
They sort of position garbage in such a way that when you shine a light through it, it becomes like a silhouette of a person. And you're like, that's so impressive.
Yeah.
That's the league table.
Is it magic eye? Is that what we're
trash,
doing?
Absolute trash. And you go, Man United, 6 points off the top. And you go, what?
Yes.
I did not expect this.
I mean, 6 points is obviously still two wins. But they're getting them. They are getting them.
This one was by more than a single goal as well, other than the two before it.
So they are.
I'm going to start graffitiing it around town.
Well, I'll tell you what,
Nat has herpes.
They are, all right. They are six, a place and a point above Newcastle United, despite Newcastle United's gubbing of Chelsea on the weekend. 4-1, Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, it was a bit of a self-gubbing. Would that be fair? It was like 2 or 3 minutes where the Chelsea just downed tools.
Why can't you enjoy
it? I did enjoy it immensely. I very much enjoyed Joe Linton hitting the ball as hard as he could from point blank range because he'd missed a couple of headers.
Yeah.
That man's XG off his head must be so unbelievable. Lost in the league. Like point blank range, Joe Linton is the worst header off the ball in the league.
He missed an absolute sitter. And not just in the league because he did one in the Champions League.
He does it all
Dortmund.
The time. It's brilliant.
You said that he's like, he is absolutely brilliant at missing those.
Yeah,
close range
like he's
headers.
Best in the league at missing point blank headers. He has so many of them. He gets himself in such good positions, but he's just got a really square head.
Do you think Eddie Howe's thinking, like, it's a lovely move? Look at that. Beautiful. Oh, no. We've got to
what's
sort
he doing
out.
There?
Where's he running from? We need to, if that move develops, we need someone to quickly run into that position and get him out of the way.
Wild.
Maurizio Pochettino was very angry with his team, though, as you would imagine, because in his words, they were so soft. In every challenge. He said, I think these types of games make me very, 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 very angry because it's about showing your personality and character. Jim Campbell, he's got a point.
Yeah, he does. But we expected this from Chelsea, right? For them to, every time they get a good result, you feel like there's maybe another chaotic one around the corner. I think the manner
think
of this
harsh.
Is a little bit surprising.
Well, okay.
In that Newcastle was won so convincingly, especially with the personnel they've got missing. Obviously, the red card doesn't help, but they were, 3-1 down by then anyway.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is what a difficult place to go St James's Park has become as well. And because this Chelsea team is still figuring themselves out, figuring out essentially probably realistically their own leadership groups, and you know they're a very, very young team with a new coach. We're 13 games into the league. It's not a long enough time to establish a new identity like this.
I think you've been a bit kind to Chelsea there. I mean, after 13 games, they have 16 points. They've been hammered, absolutely hammered, and one of their best players, Reece James, has been sent off so stupidly.
Yeah,
and Reece James has had his injury problems. We know that he is a phenomenal footballer. Before he had the injuries and whatnot, you know, we're thinking, could he usurp Kyle Walker as England's right back? Is he going to go on to be one of the best fullbacks in the world? I mean, you might have argued that he already was. That's how good he is. And again, we've had the injuries, and you think, well, he'll come back, and he will come back. But you think, well, come on then, James, what?
You've got to come back.
Yeah. At some point, we really do want you to come back, and then he does that kind of thing, and you think, well, where is the leadership in this Chelsea side? Where is the quality? I mean, Sterling scores a great free kick, so and I think Sterling, sort of by and large, is probably doing his bit.
Mm.
But it's and
Fernandez
then
possibly will step up there.
But possibly, and then Thiago Silva. Okay, so became Chelsea's oldest ever outfield player on Saturday, 39 years, 65 goals.
Oh, but for essentially for the first time, that moment when he fell on his arse, it was like you could pinpoint the actual moment the years caught up with him.
Yes,
like when he pulled himself up, he looked like Phil Mitchell. Oh God. The years in my legs.
Dear. Is he going to do a Ross Kemp on strikers? But I mean, yeah, the last thing you want is an angry Joe Linton bearing down on you then. But I think Chelsea I just can't get my head around them. They put in a good performance 1 week, as you mentioned earlier, but ultimately it's not good enough.
But they're basically playing how we thought they'd play. Good players, they'll turn up every now and again, and they'll get, you know, be on the wrong end of results like this. And as Jim alluded to, like, Newcastle is a very hard place to go to, and I think to talk about it from the other side of that conversation, someone like Lewis Miley come in and play the way he did as a kid, who I don't think has a so photo impressive. On the Premier League website. So when they put up the formations, you'd like this. It was, like, I think the caption was "photo needed" or something like that. For him to come in and feel really comfortable, obviously that's a credit to him and the coaches that he's worked with. But also just like stepping into a situation where, like, right, this is a tough team, but we have 10 players here who are just going to bust a gut, and everyone in this stadium who's just gunning for the other team. It does make it a little bit easier.
It does, but look at the injuries Newcastle have got, which have been quite well documented.
Yeah,
Three keepers on the bench.
There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You love to see it.
You do love to see it.
It's Harry Redknapp-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's it. Newcastle have got their injuries. You could argue that maybe they're there for the taking might be a bit strong because they've still got a decent side. But and of course, as you say, Miley's come in and has played really well. But Pochettino and Chelsea, look at the players, look at the experience they've got. They should be licking their lips, going, right, lads. Okay, they're all right, but you know, they're out, they're down on their luck a bit and so on. But Chelsea, it was so lacklustre. And you know, we can say, oh, well, this is what we expected, Chelsea. It's a bit of this, bit of that. After 13 games, they've got 16 points.
Yeah.
It's piss poor from their point of view.
Caicedo not being able to start because of the international break was obviously an issue because they just were just playing through them, running through them, and they didn't have any protection in that middle. But
how long does this go on for, though? That's what I mean. This kind of, you know, we've all been saying
like genuinely, March.
Yeah,
yeah. Like,
and I mean, I don't think.
Hang on, you think this will go on until March?
Yeah, yeah.
Chelsea will stop being silly in March. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I asked the question. He's just thrown it out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, it's gonna keep going because there's nothing to say that they're gonna suddenly develop some structure and stuff like that. It feels like they were leaning more towards, you know, being those quote-unquote agents of chaos.
Yeah.
But they've probably helped out massively by the Spurs game, all told.
Yeah.
The repercussions from that game are really interesting because, obviously, Chelsea won, blah, blah, blah. They should have been out of... Spurs should have been out of sight in the first half. They then do a succession of stupid things that they're now paying for.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the other side of that is that, like, people were thinking that Chelsea were kind of back and, you know, had started to find a bit of rhythm, but evidently they haven't.
Indeed, I think this is quite similar in some regards, not all in some, to Graham Potter's Chelsea. I think they're better. I think they're in a better place and I think they're more likely to find something, and I don't think they would sack Pochettino unless it really got quite bad. But it will have to improve because a 10th place finish for Chelsea is not good enough. And so, you know, let's see where they are at the end of the season and if Pochettino's allowed to then have a summer and kind of shape them and blah, 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 blah. But, and I know the ownership's different. It's not the previous fella anymore and it hasn't been for a while. But this is just quite odd. It's not what we've come to expect from a Chelsea.
They are doing things very, very differently, though, aren't they?
I say the Chelsea, specifically Chelsea.
Specifically Chelsea, yeah. The way they've thrown all these players together... So much churn, so much kind of, you know, turmoil to a degree. Like I say, we've not really seen this before. So this season was always going to be a bit of a gelling season, a bit of a sort of fact-finding mission almost. I imagine that Pochettino's pretty safe, even if they don't, maybe even if they don't get into Europe at all this
season. So you think a 10th place finish where they are now or maybe
not? They won't be happy with it, but I think they're playing a long game.
We shall see. We shall see. But Newcastle United, Peter, much better from them. And the aforementioned Lewis Miley was grabbing headlines. Bruno Guimarães said after the game, "Lewis Miley is a massive star. When I was 17 years old, I was shit."
You love to say it.
Petty mouth.
I do find Lewis Miley hard to look at. He's very long.
Well,
and
his
then
picture's
at the top...
not on the website,
no,
is it?
Yeah. I said it on the WhatsApp, but like, there is a Vogue on Etsy for people making long Furbies. Getting, you know, like those toys from the 90s Furby, and they basically extend them out. So they've got adorable little baby's faces, these Furbies, but they've got really long bodies. And
like
I think
a big snake.
Like a big snake. He looks like a long Furby.
Is it a bit like Arsene Wenger in that long winter coat?
A little bit, yeah, but very different visages, let's say.
I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? He's very tall, and his head is a baby's head. It's brilliant.
There's something a bit... Do you remember that YouTube video, Rusty Spoons?
Rusty Spoons?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
It was basically whatever the opposite of ASMR is.
Right, okay. Salad fingers. Yes. Salad fingers. Yes, yeah. Yes, he's salad fingers.
Yeah.
He's salad fingers.
Something unsettling about it.
Salad dog's a bit lazy. Yeah. Lewis Miley's going to do a pass.
What was really cool about his assist for Isak was that actually, if he played the ball right to Almiron, he would have still, like, the continuity of the move wouldn't have been lost. Mm-hmm. It would still be
another
like
baby
a,
man.
And
baby man.
The attacking impetus wouldn't have gone, but he decided to take responsibility and play the hard pass that led to the chance.
And he got
a lot of balls to do that.
I put it to you that the Isak finish was a spin and fin.
Yeah, good. No, I like that. I do like that. Anthony Gordon scored in his third straight game at St James's Park. Has anyone had in terms of just for him? Let's remove the morals from this.
Right.
But in terms of his career and his enjoyment of football and money and all the rest of it, a better move from this current Everton side to this current Newcastle United side.
Everton have to be annoyed about that, haven't they?
They got a fair price for him.
They did get a fair price.
It would be worse if they hadn't sold him. Let's be honest.
I was going to say.
I reckon you could say you could just start that bit from the summer just gone, because it was only end of last season where he was having an argument with Eddie Howe on the bench at Brentford, wasn't
it?
Yeah, that's right.
And like complaining about his time, Newcastle fans wondering if he was a bit too much trouble, a bit too big for his boots, but knuckled down over the summer, and he's remarkable, really.
Also, getting away from Dominic Calvert-Lewin has done wonders for his wardrobe.
Yeah.
Calvert-Lewin can pull off anything.
Mm. Yeah,
those around him need to stop trying to dress like him. It's not going to be the same.
I have my doubts about Calvert-Lewin and his wardrobe. If you put it out there that much, it's just a bit...
You've always been Andy Harry style, so to be fair.
Yeah, you don't like sauce, do you? So,
I don't know.
You don't like condiments on your food.
Oh, I see.
Jim started
figurative
it.
Or literal.
Right, we're going to go for a break. Former Chelsea manager Maurizio Sarri might be on the move soon.
Clip that.
How about
Smokey
that?
Morris?
Wow, he was asked at the weekend if he would ever consider a job in Saudi Arabia. He replied, "Can you smoke there?" The journalist replied, "Yes," to which he said, "Okay, then we'll see."
The fact you have to ask, though.
The fact that he knows that there are laws there that are unconventional.
Restrictions.
That's the only law I'm bothered about. Yeah. Smoking.
Yeah, that's why you never see him in a nightclub in this country.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm really good. I'm a handsome man and I seduce them and we do it. So I'm really good.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody.
Jesus Christ.
Thanks for to friend of the Ramble, Ben.
Joseph.
Thanks to friend of the Ramble, Ben, for choosing that clip. You've become a friend of the Ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble.
Ooh, steam coming out of my top. Gully Kalar. Hello, Gully. Avid listener, first time email. I wanted to pick up on your queries around what the freemen of a city have the right to do once this has been bestowed upon them. It was shocking to learn that a certain Steve Bull was awarded the freedom of our city of Wolverhampton back in 2018. The idea Wayne Rooney had offered an equivalent level of service to the city of Derby is quite laughable.
How long did it take them to give that to Steve Bull, by the way?
I know, yeah, 2018. Yeah.
That's 2018. Poor from Wolverhampton.
Maybe they were like, let's improve the city a bit so we can give him something worthwhile.
Yes.
Never been to Wolverhampton? I can't say that.
Accurate.
But
according to this, he is now allowed to take his flock of sheep wherever he damn well pleases. So if you ever find yourself stuck on the Wolverhampton Ring Road, that probably isn't why, because the whole thing is basically a joke and they need to come up with some better perks around this title.
Oh, well,
I do agree with that. If you're still going to give out the freedom of a city, modernise it. Yeah,
with the whole sheep business. It's...
Yeah, like getting Nando's black card or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You're not allowed a crossbow Welshman anymore. You have to, but you can have unlimited chicken.
Yeah. Unlimited chickens. Unlimited dogs. Chicken, yeah. I mean, that would be more modern.
Unlimited dogs.
Yeah, you could just like, have your dogs down the pound.
Bring your dogs down. Yeah,
which would be pointless. But that's what I mean. Even that would make it more modern.
Yeah.
You could have as many dogs as you want.
In the Nando's.
I thought I could. Oh, dear. Yeah, you bring your dogs to Nando's. There we are.
What a day. What a day that would be. Bring your dogs to Nando's Day. My word. The joy.
Oh, by the way, the aforementioned Wayne Rooney won his first game as Birmingham City manager. 2-1 win against Sheffield Wednesday. Apparently he lost his voice after his half-time team talk.
Yes. It makes it sound like it was a deal with the devil. I will give you this first win, but I will take something from you as well.
Oh, dear. Do remember to keep...
devil is arriving.
Do remember to keep sending your emails, everybody, and your tweets to us ahead of this Friday, where we will be recording another mailbag. Oi, oi, Savaloy. Football anecdotes, questions, anything goes. Jim Campbell, email show@footballramble.com and find us on X @footballramble.
I haven't heard Oi Oi Savaloy in a while.
Yeah, well, here it is, baby.
Doesn't really mean anything, does it?
And yet it does. You really, you know, get a sense of what life's about when you shout that. Right, back to the Premier League. Manchester City 1, Liverpool 1. PTD called this.
Yes, well, it's. I think predicting is a mug's game anyway, but I think also reveling when you've predicted a fairly, it's not really binary, but it's three options there, isn't there? I don't think you should celebrate all that much, all right?
Okay. So
just
why can't you enjoy anything?
I enjoy the things I enjoy.
He didn't predict it, I did. Anyway, Darwin Nunes and Pep Guardiola had a little bit of a heated exchange at full time.
Did
they?
This is what we want.
Did you hear Klopp afterwards?
During the sort of
No. He was asked. So he was asked about the situation afterwards.
Oh
and
yes.
He said they. He basically spoke about them probably speaking in Spanish together in a way that was like, oh, you know, I come to London, you don't hear the English language anymore. It's all foreign voices. It was, but in quite a funny way, he was like, "Oh, you know, I don't understand what they're saying." So it was almost like, you know, nothing to do with me, sir. You know, I don't speak the language.
Probably wise, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it was.
Darwin Nunes may have said something,
but it seems like it was to do with celebrations. I mean, it always to do with like celebrations from the benches, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Don't over celebrate. Don't be happy.
Yeah, exactly.
If Pete was a manager in the Premier League, they'd love him.
Yeah,
I think
true,
I'd be
actually.
Perfect. I'd be arm round the
opposition.
Opposition shoulder.
You guys are great. Yeah, but you should have the points.
Yeah.
Who knows? It was Darwin Nunes. He might be going, "Oh, hey, you look like a little Wally. You look like a little Wally in your turtleneck."
Yeah,
something really out of the blue.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, there was some sort of interesting celebrations on the weekend, wasn't there, in the Premier League? And obviously they were having a bit of a chat about that. I mean, De Zerbi running on the pitch. Mm. What would they have thought about that one?
The celebration police would have been absolutely fuming about it.
Yeah, I liked it. It was a bit Mourinho New Camp, yeah, which, you know, I'm a fan of.
I can see why Forrest might have been a bit annoyed about it, but, you know.
Yeah, well, they turn the sprinklers on, though. They're frozen this time of year.
He does do a little bit of a slip at the end of his little run as well.
He got far,
enjoyable.
Though.
He did get far in quite flat trainers, but he does do a little slip at the end, which could.
Yeah.
He could have had a spill there.
If you're a manager, you need to be at least wearing Mouldies, even though that's not conducive on the sideline, but... Mm. It does give you that rare option if something goes off.
We need a little switch, don't you?
Mm. Yeah. Golf spikes.
Spuds come out. Yeah,
golf
exactly.
spikes. Shall we settle on them? Pep Guardiola, though, he was acting a bit strange on the touchline, as he often does. He said he wanted some more noise from the Man City fans inside the Etihad. And you saw him at times trying to G the fans up, but not in that way that some managers, like you might see Klopp sort of raising his arms, going like, come on!
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Now, he gets probably...
He wasn't cheerleading.
He wasn't cheerleading. Yeah. Exactly. He's basically going, "Well, come on, what's up with you?" And he's like pointing to his ear, like, "What's the matter?"
Like,
with
"Oh, this is no good. You know, this sound is no good."
Tends to do it once a season, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So it asks for a bit more from the home crowd, and I think it's telling that in what high regard he's held in that he can do that. He has the currency to do that, and no one's going to see it as insulting.
Yeah, I think that people's patience can wear a little bit thin there, and I think they might say to themselves, well, are you doing this because your team is maybe not quite clicking? Do you know what I mean? I know you want the extra man and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know. I mean, Manchester City were, I'd say by and large, the better side in this game, would you?
Yes. But
I mean, Pep seemed
also
very pleased with the performance, but he often does that, though, doesn't he? Often?
Yeah, but I also think there's an element of, it felt like Liverpool did everything they wanted to do in that game. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, you can see the ball to Man City, so that's fine. Yeah. But, you know, they had the first chance, you know, the Nunez header that Edison saved.
Yeah.
They could say that the goal that they conceded was a mistake. And I broadly agree. I think Alexander-Arnold has to be a bit more physical in that moment. Nathan Aki, with all due respect to him, the fact that he's dancing through in the final third of the pitch.
And Alisson's kick out as well.
Yeah, well,
who at times,
his feet had been rubbish.
His feet had been replaced by bananas, I think.
Yeah.
It was very strange. although, well, you said he was rubbish, but actually... made some important saves.
By his high standards, he was rubbish. I think he got...
Yeah.
I think he got a bit lucky with the Akanji foul on him.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's really soft.
Because I think if the referee gives that on the field, it's not going to be overturned on VAR.
I don't know. That's why
I think he got lucky.
As Ian Wright pointed out on Match of the Day, the fact is his arm...
But he's
all right, Alisson, dismiss Ian Wright over here.
Alisson is stronger than that.
No, but is it a question of that?
Well, I think it is if there's a risk that the referee might give it.
I don't know whether you take a player's strength into account.
Well, I don't think it's enough of a foul for that to be disallowed, personally. I think that goes.
I can see why it's given.
Of course. I'm not denying that for a second.
Uh-huh.
But I think the risk Alisson takes in going down that easily is that he can actually dominate that situation and be stronger than Akanji and just get the ball.
Well, okay.
But he shouldn't think of relying on the referee in that instance, I think.
Okay.
Just take it out of that.
I take that point. I mean, yeah, Alisson, it was quite a stunning performance for him and for right and wrong reasons. And, you know, they did get away with one there. And Trent Alexander-Arnold had a funny afternoon because, you know, Jeremy Doku, you know, was having a good time down there, but again, didn't ultimately create or it didn't produce too much fruit, obviously, because they only got the one goal. But then Trent does what he does and smashes in an absolute beauty.
Beautiful goal as well. Really, really well crafted.
Yeah.
And that's, you need, sort of from nowhere as well, or certainly from an area where they didn't really appear to be any danger. Lovely ball from Salah. Just really quick thinking from both of them. It's interesting to hear Alexander-Arnold talk sort of in depth after the game in the immediate post-match about how players find themselves subconsciously respecting City too much with their individual players in particular. Where he said you stand off them a bit because you know what they're capable of, so you don't want to commit too much, but then actually you do have to commit to them and you do have to press them a bit. And he said they struggle with that a bit in the first half and had to kind of think their way out of it in the second half. That's a really interesting insight to how teams approach City, even a contender like Liverpool. And it does... It makes sense, doesn't it? There is a sense that people are scared in some degree. Scared maybe a bit too extreme, but sort of perhaps approach City a little bit differently and let them control the game in a way that is essentially, you know, you're inviting your own doom when you do that.
I think scared is the right word for it, because I thought what impressed me most about Alexander-Arnold's performance was he gets turned inside out by Doku umpteen times and then pops up 80th minute on the edge of the box to finish as he did. And it feels like a player like him, who we know like isn't defensively sound as a fullback, needs like the memory of a goldfish. Because if he keeps thinking about all the times Doku's doing him, if he's keeping a running tally in his head, you know, there were a couple of times where he actually pushed him a bit further wide, made him go to an area he didn't want to go to, or just like got the ball off him. You're unable to do that if you're constantly thinking about, this guy is all over me. And evidently he doesn't think like that, because I think he knows, as a lot of modern fullbacks do, that all my best work is going forward when we have the ball. It doesn't matter if I'm getting done by who we largely acknowledge as like one of the most exciting players in the Premier League at the moment. So I think credit to him for that. Because
did you enjoy his shushy celebration, Peter?
I always enjoy those celebrations.
I do as well, actually. He said that it was. He even said he quite enjoyed doing it, because just to see some of the fans' faces. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's just heel behaviour all in, really, isn't it? I suppose. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think there should be more of that. I think there should be more people stealing other people's celebrations. I think players should turn up at other teams' matches for a laugh. Like CM Punk just turns up at the end of like a Survivor Series. You just turn up and everyone's going, what is happening? And you're going, I'm just watching a football match. So why did you come down the tunnel? I don't know.
So what, like a Liverpool after their game, they go down and watch like Arsenal at Brentford?
Yeah.
Even though they probably wouldn't get there.
Yeah, hang out.
When wrestlers would like linger for other people's matches, or like they'd be in the crowd.
Gorilla position, just standing in the gorilla position. What's he doing? What's Harry Kane doing here?
I'm not saying we should do this with the Premier League title, but there should be one, say like a cup that gets you into the Champions League, for example, but it's a Money in the Bank style thing.
What, you got to climb up a ladder and grab a suitcase?
Yeah, but then someone has it and then you can cash that in to be like, right, now we're going to play Man City at the end of their game with Liverpool, where they're all knackered.
Yeah, 24/7 cup.
Exactly.
Like what R-Truth used to win all the time.
Yeah, well, that draw, of course, between Manchester City and Liverpool, does it blow the title race wide open? We thought it was going to be just between Manchester City and Spurs for a minute there, but Manchester City dropped points. And so do Spurs. They dropped all of them at home to Aston Villa, who beat them 2-1. Spurs now lost 3 Premier League games on the spin, despite scoring first in all of those games. And Ange Postecoglou, of course, collecting all those Manager of the Month awards. He doesn't have to give them back. This is a different month. but Villa are now ahead of them in fourth. It's absolutely unbelievable, the Premier League. The Villa are 2 points off the top, Jim Campbell.
Heung-min Son scored 3 goals, all of which were offside, which gives the impression that, obviously, you know, Villa were under the cosh a little bit and under a lot of pressure. But actually, if all of those flags go up straight away, you don't see it like that.
No.
And it's a risky game to play, but Emery has got them so well drilled at it that it just neutralises attacking threat.
Well, they did ride their luck, though, well. Jim. They did ride their luck.
You think?
Well, Kulusevski should have scored when he hit the post.
Yeah. Fair.
You know, they had other chances.
They had a goal disallowed as well themselves, Villa, that was very, very tight.
Well, and they had the chances as well. So it was a bit of a ding-dong, this one.
It threatened to be a great game and did not disappoint.
Yeah. Well, it threatened to have more goals.
Well, suppose,
but
suppose
Unai Emery knows how to stop you doing it.
Well, he does. Offside. You enjoyed watching this game.
I did enjoy watching this game.
Why?
Lots of reasons. Mm. 2 reasons in particular. Both Villa goals. Won by Arsenal fan Ollie Watkins.
You were in a pub.
I was in a pub.
There we go.
I watched it in a pub in North London with my friend who's a Villa fan. When Pau Torres scored that lovely curled header, my Villa supporting friend made a sort of, what I'll describe as a sort of brummy noise.
Can you do it?
Hello, Wolverhampton.
No, I can't do it.
Because you did it before we came in. Carry on.
It's not true, Birmingham. And the barman, I suspect heavily, was a Spurs fan.
Right.
My friend had ordered a jerk chicken burger, and when the barman came over, he just said to him, "Is your jerk chicken burger?" in a sort of faux Birmingham voice, clearly very rattled.
Right.
Was he taking really a piss of you?
Really enjoying
it. Is your chicken burger? It's medium rare.
And it wasn't a good Birmingham accent. It wasn't even as good as the monstrosity I just did.
The chicken burger?
He was enjoyably rattled.
Yeah, 1 star though.
That's right. On Expedia.
That's an awesome, isn't it? Oh, dear me.
Genuinely, it was an excellent game, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, it was. And Watkins scored again. He could have had more than that, but didn't need to, because that was the winning goal. Mm. That was the winning goal. England's number two striker.
Jim, what did you eat for the food?
I went for sausage and mash, which in a pub
is classic, isn't it?
I'm not going to make that for myself at home, because I would hate myself. but in a pub, I think reasonable.
What's wrong with that?
It just feels a bit gluttonous, doesn't it?
You don't have to make it in a big, like, dandy style.
Well, exactly,
sort of,
yeah.
Like,
but you are going to get it in a big cartoonish
There are parts of Africa where they have ugali, which is kind of a sort of a mashed potato kind of affair. But it's like a corn,
isn't it? It's like different countries have different names for it. But
you can get it in a proper tower sometimes.
Mm, wow,
it's quite something.
I put Tabasco on it once.
Yeah, I just put a load of sausage, a load of.
That's a meal.
I didn't do that, of course, everybody. But yes, Villa, they won 2-1, and it's the first time Villa have been back in the top four this far into the season since December 2009.
They were very impressive.
These are great times for Aston Villa.
Yeah, they absolutely were, especially given for most of the first half they weren't very good. Mm. And you could argue that Spurs should have killed the game off then and there. Certainly,
well, there
put
you
it
go.
On a different
there
path.
You go.
But the way they emerged from the second half was impressive, not least because they almost knew, right, we're not actually going to get the ball off Spurs, but let's try and play this a bit differently. So they were so efficient with how they used the ball in the break as well. Should also say, Spurs starting with four fullbacks, you know, in their back line because of the injury situation, which is, it's not just bad in terms of number of players, but those players like Maddison, Bissouma, Pape Maté Sarr, Romero, Van de Ven, all of them were integral to why they were so good at the start.
Yeah.
Like every single one of those players was singled out for praise and rightly so. So to be without them is obviously a huge issue.
Could have started Eric Dier.
Well, no, because he's obviously not quick enough for the system, is he? So that's why they didn't start him.
Oh, okay.
But the really nasty thing I thought was Cash's foul on... Bentancur, yeah. After he's coming back from injuries, his first start since his ACL. And like, so unnecessary as well. Going back to his own goal, that should have... I'm not sure why that wasn't looked at, to be honest, on VAR. Maybe it was, I can't remember. But yeah, horrendous.
Mm. Well, horrendous or not, Aston Villa are in to fourth spot, just 2 points behind Arsenal at the top of the league, Jim. Yeah. How are they going to throw this run away?
We'll see.
Ramsdale did his best.
He did. He threw a ball right into the floor, didn't he, at one point? That was fun. Yeah.
The thing is, it could have bounced up and hit him in the face, which would have been worse.
It could have,
but
yeah.
It didn't.
Really genuinely awful situation for Aaron Ramsdale in that... in having to play in that fixture for the second time this season. Two clean sheets, obviously, you know, he's come out of that well, but... As we've all seen, there was a moment where Declan Rice had to spare his blushes by making a clearance off the line. And it was a difficult afternoon for him in some regards. While he was, apart from those two moments, was pretty solid. But then at the same time, also wasn't threatened that much. I just, you know, we talk about footballers having to be mentally very strong. But the specifics of the situation for Aaron Ramsdale playing against Brentford with the fans chanting, "You're just a shit David Raya" at him, things like that. It's like the sort of thing from an anxiety dream. You know, having that many people mocking the situation you are in must have been really difficult
at least
for him. I really felt for him.
At least his dad's helped and taken the focus off that situation.
Yeah, I suppose though. So, yeah. We are just talking about Mr. Ramsdale on his Fez now, aren't we, I suppose?
No, I'm genuinely pleased that Ramsdale kept a clean sheet. But
so am I.
Yes.
Tough game. But I think they've only lost three times in the last 23 home games, Brentford, and two of those were against Arsenal. So it's a tough place to go and win.
Well, Arsenal are top of the league currently.
And everyone was so worried about Ramsdale, they forgot about Havertz, didn't they?
Yeah.
Narrative.
Up theirs. Gentlemen, let's go back down towards the bottom of the league. Luton Town 2, Crystal Palace 1. Luton's first Premier League win at Kenilworth Road. It was first on Match of the Day. That's how big this was, Pete Donaldson. Manchester City and Liverpool, way down the pecking order on Match of the Day. That was them trying to prove a point.
Was it?
I thought that was poor.
Yeah.
After the goalkeeping heroics from Kavinsky. Good God.
You preferred that episode where there wasn't any punditry, didn't you? And there weren't any commentators.
No, I'm saying that...
I thought you were going to stop paying your licence fee.
Come on. I love the BBC. Match of the Day, they got the running order wrong. I was happy for Luton to be first.
He doesn't watch Doctor Who anymore, though.
Yeah.
Never did.
Never did. No, never I didn't did. Either.
Like the theme tune, though, from back in the day.
Why yeah. should you have to pay for Attenborough to swan about?
Let's get back to Luton. I feel we're losing the plot here. Mm. It was a great win, Peter. You can't deny it.
It was. I think much was made of Palace getting a very late hit of the crossbar. But Luton could have had one before that, after that rather. So, you know, all's well, what ends well.
Now, we had another shushy celebration in this game, didn't we? Which was Elise, who we
the
thought...
The speed for... going into that goal was ridiculous. Yeah. Like, just
he'll be furious about the Garnacho goal.
Yeah, we thought for less than 24 hours, we thought we'd already seen the goal of the season, as Gary Lineker had pointed out on the aforementioned match of the day. And then that was punched to bits by Garnacho's beauty.
Palace players, there's just something about them that just seem quicker than everybody else in the league. When they're on one, they are on one. I mean, they were on one for a bit because they lost, but then they were off one, you Marcus.
Yeah, at some point they're on, some point they're off. Great win for Luton though, Vish. And Luke Moore, our very own Luke Moore, liken them to a truffle pig that is just going to sort of sniff out tasty little morsels in the form of Premier League points every now and then. Mm. Well, they found three of them here in his confusing analogy. But much needed. I mean, that's such a huge boost, isn't it? Especially conceding 2 minutes after they go ahead. I mean, from Palace's point of view, it was a poor one to concede, of course, that second one. But that's where you've got to capitalise on the mistakes. Rob Edwards, though, the manager, wasn't getting too carried away. He said, "I don't want the players having a party. We've done nothing. We've got 9 points. I don't think that's anything to be going out to the nightclub and having a flipping disco or a party."
Yes. Were they going to do this anyway?
All night disco party. It
says a lot about Luton as a place, doesn't he, that he refers to the nightclub.
The nightclub, yeah. Yeah. What nightclubs have you got there?
Chasers.
Got in Luton.
I remember going, when I was at uni in Edinburgh, going on an away trip to Motherwell with my friend to Aberdeen, Franz.
And
there was one club and it was just called Mega Club.
Nice.
Mega Club, yes. You get one chance to name your business and they've done well there.
You get the mega bus there.
Yeah.
Sounds like a transformer that turns into a club.
Mega club.
Oh, I like that.
I'm partying my belly. Yeah. It's German. It's a German truck nightclub. Come party in my belly.
Well, they are 4 points from safety.
Feast at my disco biscuit.
Oh dear.
I can hear the beat this is set to in my own head. It's terrifying.
Take your clothes off. Fetish wear only.
Sorry,
inside
fans,
the super club.
Too cold in Motherwell. Too cold in Motherwell. You say Luton Town.
Oh, yes, I believe Town, so. Yeah. 4 points from safety, Jim. Now, you're obviously worried for them because you think Burnley and Sheffield United are going to massively improve.
I think, Marcus, it's not unreasonable for Luton Town to consider that a threat. Mm.
But of all the teams down there, Luton, there seems to be a bit of goodwill towards them, of course, their narrative and blah, blah, blah.
They're 4 points clear of the relegation zone, mate.
Yeah, exactly. They've got a charismatic manager who we know can belt out a Bon Jovi number. Mm. I mean, it would be utterly remarkable if they survived.
He's not getting into Mega Club.
I think he would.
Not if you're belting out Bon Jovi numbers, not with the door stuff they've got.
So at the Mega Club, they don't play Living on a Prayer.
Not now it's a German sex club.
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry, I think they would massively.
No, it's just techno, wall-to-wall techno, mate. Endless techno.
Bit of Hasselhoff, maybe?
No, just endless techno.
Come on.
Stripped down endless techno.
Endless AI techno.
Yeah.
Literally endless.
All right, a bit of Scooter. Can we have Scooter?
Scooter.
Sold Robin. 80 billion records.
Rob, can you do a bit of Scooter? No, maybe. How much is the fish? Yes, so well done, Luton. They've got Brentford, Arsenal and Man City next.
Yeah. But then they're the kind of matches. If you're going to put any cash somewhere, you'd put it on a Man City win, wouldn't you?
Would you?
Yeah.
That's
a classic Premier League win.
We'll remember that when those fixtures come around. All right. Remember Lacken.
I'm not.
I'm not doing it.
Putting the charities money near my mouth.
Playing Palace at home, those are the games. Those right, are the games, yeah. You know, and a win is huge.
They had to make, they've got to make the place a fortress, right? We all know that, and they are, to be fair to them, they are doing it.
That muggy little place a fortress,
that
Jim.
Muggy little embarrassment that Garth Crooks has got absolutely no time for, has been a tough place to go for Palace and Liverpool.
I think what's really going for Luton though is the fact that Burnley, who are bottom of the table, have matched the worst home start to an English league season with 7 straight defeats at Turf Moor.
Has company catfished us or something?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he has.
What is this?
I don't know.
What do you mean? You know, it's changed since last season or what?
I go back to his attire. Totally just dressed wrong for the job. Everything.
Don't dress like a tech bro.
Whereas, like, exactly. Yeah. Whereas, look at David Moyes, right? When they turn up, David Moyes, he's got the tracksuit on for the game. So, if you know, he can get stuck in if needs be. But when it comes to the interviews and all the rest of it after, post-match chat, suit and tie. That is a man who knows what he's doing.
We should say West Ham were pretty lucky here and they're not playing particularly great football. Okay. Although, they, you know, they've got 2 wins now after, you know, 3 defeats. So, fair dues to them. But, yeah, something about... I was partly tongue-in-cheek about being catfished by company because they evidently play good stuff. They're just... You almost just wait for the part of the game where they turn to shit.
Well, they left it a bit later this time, yeah. Admittedly. But that is huge for Luton and Sheffield United being piss poor as well. Everton's point deduction. All that
gives them a chance.
But it also massively gives them a boost because suddenly they turn around and go, hang on, we're 4 points from safety after 13 games. They've only got 9 points, of course. But, you know, it's all to play for.
I have a question for you, Marcus.
Yes.
Because this question has been put to me and I had to think about the answer. When you said David Moyes just then, did you think about it or do you now just call him David Moyes unironically?
I've kind of got into that, to be honest. Yeah.
I'll say
that to my father-in-law, who's a big West Ham fan, and he just looks at me a bit disappointed.
Yeah, because you haven't
more disappointed than his daughter.
But have you not, because you're not going the whole hog, you have to go David Moyes.
If you're
put a lisp in if you want to be David Moyes.
Yeah, it depends on what region, of course. Who knows?
Well, the lispy one.
Speaking of Spanish things, Sergio Ramos got sent off on the weekend.
Didn't he? Yeah. Oh, all is right with the world.
Sergio Ramos.
Absolutely unnecessary as well.
Ramos got sent off. Jamie Vardy punched himself in the face.
Missing
ladies and gentlemen. You know, if you're worried about the state of football and whatnot, you know, some things do, they're still there.
Just too much Barclays to fit into this episode.
He's not getting in.
We the club.
He's punching himself in the face.
I reckon he might get in.
Without punching yourself, without him punching himself in the face, he's getting in. But
all right, so
he's
not going to be allowed in, but
he is getting in.
Shimmy up a drainpipe or something. He's getting in there
because there's that one bouncer who decides who's in or out.
Yeah,
I reckon he might like Jamie Vardy.
I think he would get away with wearing a full King Power kit. As it's called.
So Jamie Vardy can get in. The King Power kit.
King Power kit. Yeah.
Sergio Aguero's getting turned away in his weird little F1 Man City romper suit that he wore at the weekend.
Yeah. No well-dressed footballers getting in.
Not even DCL.
Not if you're at the door.
Certainly not. Thank
get
you very much.
Out, you look too sexy. This is not what this is about.
It absolutely is what it's about.
It is what it's about.
Thanks for listening to The Football Ramble. Do follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thanks, Jim.
Scooter!
Thanks, Pete.
Farewell.
Thanks, Fish.
Cheers.
Thank you, everybody. Stay sexy.
I'm not smoking in the club. I'm not smoking in the area.
Have you tried to get in there before?
No, I tried to get into another club. They wouldn't let me in because I was wearing a 3-piece suit. I dressed my nicest. Let me in.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.